Where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, and I'm reporting live from my brand new apartment.
I know. Gorgeous,
exciting stuff.
You're not in a you're not a basement dweller anymore. Congratulations.
I know. In living in a basement really like screws with your mind in a way that I don't think I fully realized.
Yeah.
Like, because you just have no sense of time down there. So every morning you wake up, your body, like, that my alarm goes off, my body, like, is seizing because it's like, what do you mean? It's still, like, the middle of the night down here. We've had no natural sunlight.
Yeah.
But my new apartment has all of these big windows. And this morning, the first morning I woke up here, it was like, I rolled over and I was like, wait, is it time to get up? And I looked at my phone and it was like 6:30 a.m. And I'm like, okay, this is perfect. Like, good job, body. Like, we're adjusting to the light. We're waking ourselves up more naturally. Like, perfect. I mean, obviously, I went back to sleep for another 2 hours, but, you know.
But still, it was a nice recharge.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Yeah. Very exciting stuff.
I know. A new era. And another byline in the New York Times, too. So congrats to Matthew Huff.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, this weekend has been good for me in so many ways. And also good for the people of Spain who won the World Cup.
Yes. Yes. I definitely followed that and I knew that.
Well, sure. And so did I, because I followed it so closely because I love soccer. Football, if you will.
But that's a good – people are okay with that, with them being the winner, right?
I think so. Well, so it was them and Argentina in the – so I watched two World Cup games this
– I'm proud of you.
This year, both of them against my will and neither of them with either of these teams. So I really have very little intel. But I think Argentina has won a bunch and I think Spain has won less. So I think that Spain was sort of the underdog and people were excited that they won.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about, though, is the World Cup halftime show. Did you watch this?
No.
Oh my gosh, Shelby. I'm like, you, Shelby, and also listeners, like, do yourself a favor. It's 11 minutes long. It's the most chaotic thing I have ever witnessed. This is the first time that they've done, I guess, like a big halftime show. This isn't a thing that like FIFA normally does. But since America had the, you know, World Cup this year, they were like, oh, for the final game, we're going to do a big halftime show. And it's confusing because I guess Chris Martin of Coldplay was sort of like in charge of the halftime show, but it wasn't like he really performed at the halftime show.
Right.
And so it opens up with Madonna. And mind you, this is like all in broad daylight because it's the middle of the afternoon that this game is taking place. So it opens up with Madonna, who's like under the stadium, and there's like roller skaters doing flips and stuff. She's in some sort of like dark cavernous cell. It's unclear to me whether this was like pre-taped or whether she's performing live like in the basement, because then there's sort of like a cut where she walks like two steps out into the field. She's clearly lip syncing the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then she just stands there. And then we never see Madonna again. Cut to the Muppets. The Muppets are like performing a song with like a marching band. Confusing. Then we cut to BTS, who's performing. Like, okay, great. Love them. They're back on, you know, around, but they're performing like one of their old songs. They're not performing like something new. It's like a song from 5 years ago. Sure. Then cut to Jason Sudeikis as Ted Lasso. Like,
right. I saw this.
Yes. Uh-huh. And he's talking to some other person from Ted Lasso, I guess. And then they introduce Justin Bieber. And then Justin Bieber sings Hallelujah, which is like a very chill song.
Just
in the guitar.
Yeah.
So that's like very slowed down. Then cut to a children's choir. And mind you that, first is Shakira. Cut to Shakira. Mm-hmm. Shakira performs great, you know, obviously. But while Justin Bieber was clearly singing live, Shakira and Madonna, I don't think singing live at all. They're doing Shakira's doing choreography. Madonna was just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a children's choir and they were singing live because they were bad. Like, I kept thinking of that Meg Stalter quote that's been going around. And saying, like, your acting's ass. It was like kids. Like, this singing is horrific. Like, find the note. Then there's like a children's choir. Cause at first it's just like these four kids. Then there's like a choir. Coldplay's like jumping around in the background. There's more Muppets that have since come out. BTS is also there in the children's choir. Also Justin Bieber, also Shakira. Madonna, again, nowhere to be found. I'm like, could she not walk across the field? Like, what was going on with that? The whole thing was just so weird and so disjointed. And the color scheme was like, Coldplay's, you know, sort of like hippie love, like bright color.
Is that their
It
their
was
vibe.
So bizarre.
That
and
is
I weird. Just was thinking of like all of the different documentaries that we've had of people planning their Super Bowl halftime shows and just like how there's so much thought and work that goes into those. And then this was chaotic as hell. It was so funny. Like, it was just so random. Nobody had a single idea. Like, anything that anyone suggested, they were like, sure, we could do that. Like, why are the puppets there? Like,
I don't know.
I think Ted Lasso is soccer, so, like, sure. But also, why are we taking up, like, 30 seconds of this 11-minute halftime show with him? Because also, soccer is that the, like, their like halftime break is shorter, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's like more regimented. Like, I think football, you know, it's like you can bend the rules a little bit, but with soccer, it's like, no, you have like 20 minutes or whatever it is. So it's so strange. So strange.
That's available. I'll have to, I'll have to watch a little bit of it. I heard pieces. Someone was live. Who was it? Someone in my family was texting live reactions to it. Really low point with Justin Bieber, I think, was the takeaway.
Like, Justin Bieber sounded fine. Like, it was just so
buzzkill.
Strange, yes, to have him perform that song, which is so slow. And it was like just him and a guitar. And it was weird that was in the middle of the set. Like, I think if you had put that at the, like, if you had had, okay, open with Justin Bieber, then go to BTS and Shakira and Madonna, like, great. But to, like, stick him in the middle of the lineup, not singing, like, a pop song, bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
That's funny. We did get some updates on the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift wedding, if you want to hear about this.
Oh, what did we get an update on?
So, who is it? American Century Investment CEO. I don't know what that is, but he's one of Travis's close friends, I guess.
Of course.
He explained the process on this radio show where he was like saying that back in February, he got a text from an unknown number that was like, this is from Taylor and Travis. It's not spam. Don't delete. And then he immediately deleted it because that's the most unhinged way to like...
Right.
Send a link for someone to click. So good for this guy for being a little bit internet savvy, but it turns out he was wrong because for the next few days he would get these recurringly and he just kept deleting it until he blocked the number. And then cut to like, you know, mid-spring, Travis finally decides to call him and is like, yo, you're the only one who hasn't like RSVP'd to this thing. What's going on? And he's like, what are you talking about? I haven't gotten an invite.
I'm like, I just need to stop right there. That can't be true. This of 1,000 people, this guy can't be the only one who's blocking this weird ass.
Well, maybe it's like, you know, one of the ones they, you know, if he's really a close friend. I haven't checked the seriousness of this close friend allegation, but maybe they had their top tier people who they're like, where is this guy?
I mean, I guess like with, because the thing is, like, could Taylor Swift get all these people's numbers? Like, yes, of course. But, like, did she have all of, like, did she have, like, did they have Brad Pitt's
personal cell phone number? Well, I don't think it was the texting. No, I think it was, like.
Or was that going through, like, a publicist?
Yeah, probably. Probably for, like, because every team is different. I don't know. Sports people are, like, less managed, right? Like, it's like, or this guy is just like a CEO. I doubt he has a manager.
I guess. Yeah. But he definitely has like an assistant, probably.
Right. But I guess what Travis then said on the phone was like, oh, yeah, we decided not to send paper invites because everyone we know is like too busy and we never know where they're going to be. So we figured a digital paperless post was better.
Sure. Okay.
And so then this guy verified that, yeah, once you actually do accept this text and it takes you to a link, you have to sign the NDA first, which he said, quote unquote, has teeth to it. But he's still here spilling the beans anyways. So maybe there's a date on it. And that after you sign the NDA, you would get information in trickles. Like he didn't know the exact venue or how to get to the venue until the morning of.
Yeah.
And so it was like they were breadcrumbing their wedding locale through various save the dates sent digitally. And yeah, it's a fascinating concept. I can't tell if it's just like hubris on their part. Because at the end of the day, they were getting married somewhere where no one could like sneak in. So why all the secrecy, you know?
Well, also it's like all of the information leaked and it was in a big.
Right. And no one actually like stormed the castle. Yeah.
Right. Well, it wasn't like, oh, they were getting married like on a beach in Vancouver or something where it's like, oh, there wouldn't be anyone around to take pictures unless someone was tipped off. It was like, no, you're getting married in basically Times Square. Like everyone's there and you're shutting down whole blocks of the city.
And then the other tidbit that came out was that when Adam Sandler first walked down the aisle, everyone thought it was a joke. And so they were laughing, thinking it was like a bit, but then he was the officiant. And then he spoke for 20 minutes. And I just have to understand the length of this ceremony because most wedding ceremonies, 10, 20 minutes tops. You know, it's like your walk down the aisle, you have your little vows, you have like a 5-minute speech, and then you're on the dance floor, right? Am I wrong?
I mean, I think it depends on the sort of religious component.
Okay, yeah.
Because like
non-religious.
Because like Christian weddings definitely are longer because usually there's a sermon in there. And then also like there's some Bible passages that are read. Sometimes there's a hymn or two. So you can get like around an hour. I think Catholic weddings are even longer because they have communion and stuff in them. And then I obviously I know Jewish weddings have different things. So I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
That,
I don't know if they're religious.
But theoretically, if this wedding isn't super religious, then I don't know why it would be so long other than the fact that everybody decided that they needed to give a 20-minute speech.
Because now we've heard that Adam Sandler gave a 20-minute speech and then their vows were each 20 minutes apiece. And so that is an hour right there. And I don't know if they had other, you know.
Yeah, like elements
things
to it.
Yeah. But I remain like fascinated by this. And I don't know. I think everyone at first was like, oh my gosh, she's going to do like a movie. She's going to release the making of her wedding and release it in theaters and all this. And I'm like, I don't know now. I'm like, is she really just going to sit on it just to like stick it to us?
I don't think that we're getting a movie. I feel like that's weird. But I
know,
could,
it's so weird.
But I could see, like, I think at some point we will get something, whether it's either like the professional photos or some sort of, you know, like wedding video kind, like videography thing, or maybe like some sort of music video that has footage from it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we'll get something or another. It's just a matter of when and how that comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I wouldn't put it past her to somehow use like this stuff like as the visuals for an album. You know what I mean? Like I could see like her doing like a Happily Ever After sort of like album, and the yeah. and the album cover is like her in a wedding dress or something. You know, yeah. like she's so strange and so like money hungry that I could see her doing that, you know?
I know what you mean. I've heard this too. I don't know if it'll go that far. I think she's aware enough to know that that maybe wouldn't land in the same way, you know?
I mean, like, yes, but also no at the same time. she's such a strange person that I feel like anything is possible.
I mean, like, yeah.
Like, doing a documentary about your wedding, like, I feel like is more unhinged than, like, using a wedding photo as an album cover.
No, but I disagree.
I could see either of those. Like,
I feel like, yeah, I think the documentary would be a stretch because you're going to charge people to, like, attend your wedding post-wedding. But I do feel like it would be more on brand for her to be like, I'm controlling the full look. Here's the behind the scenes. Here's everything you could want. And I'm getting a dollar for it.
Right.
Whereas making it like her like next aesthetic, her next era, I think the bad press would outweigh any sense of control. Like she'd, I don't know. I mean, I remain so curious about her next steps and so curious about the vibe of this wedding. But we'll just have to wait and see, I guess. And more of these close friends will go on radio shows and discuss the process at length. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing is, if she doesn't put out something, what we're going to just end up with is sort of an oral history of Taylor yeah. Swift's wedding, where all of these details from different interviews. And while on one hand, I do kind of love that as a vibe, like very urban legend kind of mm-hmm, energy, mm-hmm. like, oh, don't know, like, what actually happened. And it's like, oh, I heard Regina George, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's the type of thing that
yeah, really she doesn't like that.
I don't think she likes that level of mystery. I think that she, if people start talking about stuff, which they already are, that she is going to have to like, try to set the record straight.
Yeah.
Because I think she wants a story going around that like, oh, Adam Sandler talked for 20 minutes if he didn't actually talk for 20 minutes.
Right.
Like, so... Yeah, I don't know. I want to talk about a different wedding, though.
Oh, that okay. Season, yeah.
Which is Mel C, the Spice Girl, got married.
Uh-huh.
And I need to ask you how you feel about this, like, wedding etiquette.
Okay, so, tell me.
So, she got married first in Australia in, like, a private sort of ceremony thing.
Right.
And Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, also in the mm-hmm. Spice World, who is a designer, like, gave her a wedding dress to wear at that wedding. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Then she had her regular wedding in England, like, a bigger wedding. Victoria also gives, like, designs the dress specifically mm-hmm. for her. Perfect. Mm-hmm. At the wedding, there's Mel C, Sporty Spice, obviously there. She's getting married. So is Scary Spice, Baby Spice, and Ginger Spice. Victoria Beckham misses the wedding because she's at the World Cup. I'm like, I feel like that is bad vibes. Like, I understand, like, David Beckham's a soccer player, but, like, why are you at the World Cup when your good friend, who you designed both of her wedding dresses, like, and you've been friends with for 20 years, is getting married?
Yeah, that's funny.
I really don't like that. It's bad. It's bad.
I mean, the Beckhams are so weird that it's, like, almost the least surprising thing. She's like, you can have my dress, but not my time.
And to go to, like, the World Cup?
Yeah.
And, like, I just can't imagine that she is enjoying that much.
Right.
I mean, I guess she's had to go to a lot of soccer
Did she
games.
Go to either of the other ones?
Like,
of, or do we know? Of Mel C's? Like, did she go to...
No, she didn't go to... Well, the first one was, like, no, was, like, not was really a wedding. It was just, right. like, a courthouse-y kind of thing. And okay. then this was the second one, and she wasn't
I
there.
I see.
Because there's photos of, like, the other four Spice Girls.
Yeah. There.
And then Victoria Beckham is at the World Cup. But it's not like David Beckham is playing in the World Cup.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Did he have any
maybe he was, he was a
spectator. Yeah.
I don't know. No, I think they were just there to watch it.
That is funny. I mean, yeah, I can't begin to explain these sort of, and I thought the Spice Girls were sort of not friends. Isn't that like the whole thing?
No, I think the Spice Girls are all still pretty good
friends. Oh, okay.
Because it is like as far as I know, like they haven't really had falling outs, and they were all like, you know, like did their own thing. Then they've gone on a couple of tours together, all of them.
With Victoria?
Well, originally with her, and then she performed, and then they all performed at the Olympics together. Mm. But supposedly Victoria gets stage fright really bad,
right,
and doesn't really like to perform that
right
much. And so she was sort of like, okay, actually, I don't want to do this anymore, you guys. Like, I guess the Olympics really stressed her out a lot.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, you guys go, like, you enjoy this, like, have fun. Like, I support this 100%. I just don't really want to, like, have to do live performances. So, but I mean, that's like, they're all getting dinner and whatever and hanging out.
Oh, okay.
And somebody else got married recently, one of the other Spice Girls, and people at the wedding reception were posting videos because they were all sort of like singing, you know, Spice Up Your Life or whatever, like at the reception, like all sort of like drunk or whatever, performing or like, you know, lip syncing it together.
I bet they're, I mean, yeah. So I think sometimes friends just are like, maybe they had some sort of contract that they had to be at the World Cup. I don't know. But if they're still friends and it seems like it just happened to not work out.
I guess celebrities are doing, you know, celebrity things.
Yeah.
And I famously didn't come to your wedding. So,
I know. You know. So rude.
Although we weren't really like nearly as good of friends at that point.
And you would have been so disappointed by a Mormon wedding. Like, I mean, I guess you have like religion. I'm curious. Okay. Yeah. Not to devolve, but you know, cause we get married we were married in the temple. So no
right,
one
was
there.
Right. So I can't go to there. Yeah.
But then we did have like a ring ceremony, like a more pseudo normal, wedding for people to sit down and watch me walk down the aisle and exchange vows and whatever.
Yeah.
But then it was completely dry and we had the venue until probably, I don't remember, probably like 11 tops, like 10 or 11 to dance and then leave. And then my family had to clean up. Is that like your vibe? Is that like your family's weddings?
I mean, it's not that far off. Like, I've definitely been to plenty of dry weddings over the years.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I don't think weddings are always all that fun. Like, I think sometimes they are, but a lot of times they're not, honestly.
Yeah.
And that sort of doesn't, whether or not it's a dry wedding, doesn't always impact whether or not the wedding is fun. So
no, it was fun. It was a good party. We had a hot dog truck and we had so much dessert and, you know, I love to dance. So we had a lot of fun dancing.
Right.
So it would have been a fun one.
Yeah,
you missed out,
like it would have been a good time.
But our boss at the time had threatened to come and I was like, no, it's not worth flying out. Like, please, please don't.
Well, I'm also a little bit like, I would have known truly like nobody, I
That's
think, at
true.
The wedding. So it would have just been me and like your like other Mormon
friends.
You hadn't
met anyone,
right. They would have been like, have you heard the good news of Heavenly Father?
No.
Like, great.
No, you knew Kate and Natalie. You'd met them a couple times.
Yes, yes.
Or I
think
at that point we had.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, doesn't matter. Irrelevant.
Anyways, irrelevant.
Personal details. Anything else?
I feel like not really.
I know, it was a quiet week.
I mean, there's a lot of news about the Odyssey, but we will get to that on Thursday. Shall we do Love It or Hate It?
Let's do it.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I watched the new Heartstoppers Forever movie, which is like the finale for a 2-season series they'd done with Joe Locke and Kit.
Wait, it was only on 2 seasons?
I think 2 or 3. Yeah, I think it was only 2.
Okay.
Let me check.
I'm like, I feel like this show has been on for forever, but I also, yeah, it is one of those things. I never watched it, so.
I know, because you hate gay love. I hate gay love. Okay, so there were three seasons.
24 episodes.
Three seasons and a movie. I loved the show. It's just so sweet and sincere and just like low drama. I mean, that's not true, I guess, because there's like, it tackles a lot of issues, but it's never like, these people's lives will be ruined and they'll never speak to each other again. Like the stakes right. never feel like that high, like, you know, they'll figure it out type thing. Mm-hmm. And so this movie was like a nice little ending. I can see why they didn't want to stretch it out into a full season. I think the mm-hmm. movie was the right choice and it gave like a sweet closure to a high school romance. Cause that's often hard to like, end on a realistic note where you're like, guys, be for real, y'all break up in a year and move on. Uh-huh. But this was like very sweet and they're always so like charming together and the cast is so fun. So at times it did feel like, you know, you don't get as much about the secondary characters, which are sometimes the more fun pieces. But I do think it was an overall nice show and an easy reminder that like, yeah, like, why is it so hard to let these little gay boys be in love? Like, guys, just let them be in love. And there's like cute moments where one of the characters is a trans woman and she gives a speech about like, you know, like how ridiculous current transphobia is and how we have to show up for each other. And so it's nice that there's that platform for that sort of message. And it's just like a very sweet, cute, hopeful, optimistic story.
Number one, I was floored to learn that these people are still are only 22 years old.
I know, they're little babies,
oh, they're almost 30.
No, they're wild. Little babies. Yeah.
But secondly, I feel like the big headline, at least around on my side of,
there were
like sex scenes in the movie.
There were, yeah, there were. How was that? It was, I mean, it was cute. It wasn't like explicit. It was like, I mean, I guess what counts as explicit anymore? There was no dick. There was no ass. There was like very, you know, there was a.
Were they making out? Yeah.
There was making out. There was nudity implied. And there was a certain amount of pegging implied. And okay. A lot of blowjobs implied. Mm. I don't remember. I guess, yeah. Did they not really explore that in the seasons?
I never watched it.
I feel like maybe, yeah, because they didn't have sex until probably like season two or three anyways. But no, and that was one thing I noticed. I was like, these kids are still in high school, but they are having nightly sleepovers in their parents' house.
Wait, they're supposedly still in high school?
Yeah, they're in high school. It's his like senior year. That's and so he's going off to uni.
Because the one man is so big.
He's I know.
So large.
I know. But they do make it like it's not like watching overcompensating or something, right? Like it's like they do look young. Everyone reads young and they play it very like cutesy, nervous, young still. So it wasn't like distracting. But I think that too is why they were like, we've got to call it.
Right.
We've got to call it. We're not doing the Stranger Things shtick. And yeah. But I was curious about like how realistic the amount of sex they were having in their parents' houses was.
I mean, I feel like people are having a lot of sex in high school. Like, I don't, I mean, obviously we were not, but I think people
are. Yeah, it's
a
different world.
And I don't sort of know like where that takes place.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like you mostly hear stories about like things happening in people's cars.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, when someone was like out of town or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a lot of everyday.
I mean, yeah, it was like sleepover on just, sleepover.
Yeah. I don't know. But maybe I do think things are different in Europe. Like I think they're a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, sex forward there. So I don't know. But, well, good for Heartstopper. we'll see where these two go. I feel like they've had a lot of good, like, gigs so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they'll continue on.
I saw Kit Connor in Romeo and Juliet.
And
he was good, so.
Cute. Yeah.
Okay, I would like to talk about Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass.
Okay, yeah.
Which I did write about for, or kind of wrote about for the New York Times. But this movie is so funny. Have you seen it? It's so zany. So the basic premise is Zoe Deutsch, who, you know, is having a year. Her and her boyfriend make like a celebrity sex pass, you know, like, or a hall pass situation where, oh, if you meet so-and-so, like, you can sleep with them. And so the boyfriend is like, oh, I guess mine would be like Jennifer Aniston. And she's like, okay. Like, I guess mine would be John Hamm or whatever. So they talk about it. Then they stumble upon this bookstore where Jennifer Aniston has a book signing, and it's for a cookbook, and she's just reading off the list of ingredients, like at the, like, you know how at a book signing, like, you read a section, and it's just like her reading off the list of ingredients. Very funny. And so her and the boyfriend are leaving, and the boyfriend goes, oh shoot, I forgot my sunglasses, like, goes back in to get the sunglasses, is inside for like 20 minutes, and then when Gail, Zoe Deutsch, goes inside, it's like, wait a second, you guys are like hooking up, like Jennifer, like the real Jennifer Aniston and the boyfriend are hooking up. They're like, well, oh, you know, he told me it was a celebrity sex pass, and I figured, well, I'm here and I've got another 20 minutes, like, might as well do it. And so then Gail Daughtry is like, well, now I feel like I need to you know, sort of like do my hall pass, so I have to take a trip to Los Angeles, try to find John Hamm and sleep with him to, you know, sort of even out the score. And so the movie's just like her and like sort of a ragtag group of people wandering around Los Angeles. At one point they find John Slattery and they're like, oh, maybe you can help us find John Hamm. So then John Slattery is like wandering around with them. Like, everybody else is playing character. John Slattery's playing himself. It's such a wacky movie, but I really did enjoy how like funny and sort of absurd it was.
Yeah.
And there's so many jokes with different celebrities like playing versions of themselves, which is what I wrote about. So
yeah. Well, recommend. That's fun. Yeah. It's kind of a word salad title that I've kind of been annoyed by whenever I see it and just flip past.
But I mean, it definitely is it's a long title. I'm like, yeah. And I understand why they called it that, but it's like you could have just called it Gail Daughtry or Celebrity Sex Pass. And
yeah.
Either of those would have been better. But who am I to judge?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of good movie titles, The Odyssey, great movie title, one of the oldest, one of the best, came out this past week, did very well at the box office. We will be discussing it on Thursday, because of course we have to. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you then. Bye.